This is the Lifting Standards Podcast with your host, Dalton Nicholas, a fitness professional with a new age view on the health and fitness lifestyle. Enjoy.
And welcome back. This is the Lifting Standards Podcast, and I am your host, Dalton Nicholas. If this is the first time that you're joining us, please subscribe. If this is the second time, whatever the number would be, thank you for the continued support. Really appreciate all of you out there. I'm going to start off the episode with an apology for the late episode. I was house sitting out of state, and this was also the first week that I just got back into the gym, so my time schedule was a little off. But I am going to jump right into it. I'm going to start talking about keto. The issue is, does it work for you? Is it right for you? And I have my own issues with the mainstream keto marketing tactics. And I would also like to preface the episode with, if keto is working for you, then keep doing keto, basically. I'm not here to tell anyone who is successfully doing keto to hop off of it. I am just simply making my opinion more aware to the public and basically what I think is happening with keto in the public eye at this point in time. All right, so does keto work? First, we need to define work. So if we're talking about a diet that's working, you're successfully losing weight and keeping the weight off and trying to make a lifestyle change, like I said in the last episode. But define work. So this is the issue I have. Yes, it works for people who stay on it for a long period of time. Like, it'll initially work for everyone and you'll just drop. The reason why it initially works for everyone is because once you cut all the carbs out of your diet, you're depleting all of your glycogen stores, basically what your muscles are using for energy during a workout and things like that. Sometimes, I mean, there's three different pathways, but that's a different podcast. That basically when that happens, you're, depending on your size, that's a lot of weight alone just from that. And then also, you don't need to be on a keto diet to have a good amount of weight loss right at the beginning. Like, I remember when I first started working out and I did the traditional diet, I had like 10 to 15 pounds in the first 2 weeks myself. So it's not just keto diets that have a high success rate in the beginning. Anyone who's been off of a healthy nutritional lifestyle for a long time, if you jump back on a nice nutritional plan, you're going to see good results rather quickly. And I think that is kind of the, that's what drives people and like brings people in, like draws your eye to the keto diet. But that's not enough. Like, you need sustainability. And for the average fitness goer, I would like to say confidently that that does not work for the average fitness goer. I would say a select few people actually can sustain a keto diet for more than 6 months. I know a lot of people who say, oh yeah, it worked just because you did it for 2 months and you lost 15 pounds and then gained it all back as soon as you had another carb. That doesn't work. That does not mean that it's working for you. A successful diet, I will say, is like six months to a year where you're consistently hitting your goals, whether it be gain weight or lose weight. But usually with a keto diet, you're aiming to lose weight. That's who they target their marketing to, but that's later in the episode. So that is the reason why you drop a good amount of the weight initially on this diet. Then you'll begin to transform your main source of energy from carbs and glycogen. You're going to switch that over to fat sources and ketones. This is where the idea of burning fat stores comes into play. But I have a secret for you. You're not going to hit your stored fat if you are not in a caloric deficit. So that is really like the biggest flaw I have, is that people think like, oh, I switched to keto diet, like you could have all the bacon you want and all the steak you want. Like, no, you still have to be in a caloric deficit in order to hit your weight loss goals, and still need to be in a caloric deficit to burn stored fat. It's not like, all right, like I'm going to have 4,000 calories a day, 5,000 calories a day of just strictly fat and protein, and I'm going to still burn all the stored fat. Like, no, that's not how it works. That is the biggest misconception with this diet, and that's kind of one of my biggest issues with the marketing behind it. But so that's basically that's basically my take on whether or not keto works. So no, I don't think keto works long term with sustainability. Obviously, there's people who prove this wrong, but I'm talking on the average fitness and health consumer, whether or not this really works for them. And my answer is just strictly no. Now, here is when I get into detail about whether or not it's right for you. Now, this depends on your situation, clearly, but this is just my brutal opinion on the only two scenarios where I think you should try keto. And even then, I don't really, for one of them, I don't think you should, just for your own goal calendar. Like, I think you'll just save a lot of time if you don't try to make the switch. But so my first one is doctor, nutritionist, or dietitian recommended. If they are recommending this to you, it's usually based off of like a diabetes situation that you have going on, or maybe even like a cholesterol situation. But this is strictly when they bring it up for you. It's not very likely that they will. It's a very small amount of time that this will happen. But obviously, I'm not going to fight with a doctor or nutritionist. Like, if they have heard your entire story and know your situation and know like your blood work and all this, and they're recommending it to you, I think you should give it a try for sure. That being said, the next part of it, I would say, like I said, I think it'll put your goals a little out of whack depending on what your goals are. And it just kind of puts it like a 2 to 4 week extension on whatever you're going to do, because you're going to go into keto flu 2 weeks in. And then when you hop out of it, you're going to go through like a little body, mind, like mix up thing whenever you switch your main fuel source. It's not like it's an easy thing to do. So if you've been in the fitness, dieting, or overall health lifestyle for the last year minimum, because clearly you've been doing something that's been working for that year, hopefully, this is where I would say you can give it a try. Try it out. Do your research. Do your own research. Make sure that you are ready for the keto flu. Learn all you can learn about it beforehand, not as you're doing it. And I would say at that point, after a year of doing like a traditional diet of some sort, you absolutely could give it a try with a good success rate, I would think. And success rate, I mean like 6 months plus of going keto. But you really need to be able to like make yourself committed to that, because like the real benefits of it is really coming up after like the fourth and fifth month, and then like long term, just so you're not losing time on your goals. I think long term, if you're even going to try the keto, you should commit to like 6 months to a year, to make it even worth it. Basically, it's definitely a not a newcomer thing, I would like to say. That's kind of what everyone thinks it may be, but I think the newcomers and the beginners, the risk is just higher than the reward at this point. You're risking just time is so valuable. In everything, life, time is so valuable that why would you waste 2 weeks, a month and a half figuring out that you don't, like you can't do this diet and it's not going to help you. And then after you hop off of this diet, like you may not gain everything back. Like if you were in a deficit, you were still losing like real weight. But once you put those carbs back into your body, you're just going to have such a mental issue with the fact that you're gaining some weight back. Like that just sets you back, and I don't think it's really worth it when you honestly could get like 4 weeks ahead of a quote unquote keto diet if you're just doing traditional eating at a deficit, or traditional eating at a surplus if you're trying to gain weight. So it's just not worth the reward at that point for newcomers. And then with a much lower risk and a similar but not exact reward with the traditional diet, honestly, I just don't think you can really beat it. It's just good old-fashioned, holds true. Like, as long as you're under a certain caloric intake, you're going to lose weight. As long as you're over a certain caloric intake, you're going to gain weight. It's pretty simple. It's not flashy. I think that's the issue that people have with it. It's not a very flashy or a fun thing to talk about. Like, hey, what kind of diet are you doing? Oh, well, I have 150 protein, I have 100 carbs, and I have 50 fat. Oh, that's cool. What kind of foods do you eat? Oh, pretty much all the normal stuff, like chicken, rice, chicken and broccoli, like wraps. I might have a salad here and there. Like, that's not a very glorified diet. I think that's what they're doing with the keto. They make it sound so good. Like, oh, you can have steak. Oh, you can have bacon. You can have bacon on a diet and still lose weight. Like, that's insane. I got to try that. Nah, that's not the real way it works. And yes, like, it's fair. Like, you get to have those things on the diet. But it, even so, like, if you're trying to lose weight, you still can't just have a pound of bacon a day. And, like, what's that doing for you cholesterol-wise? Like, you can't just do these crazy big red meats and then think you're just going to be good long-term. So that being said, let's see here. I think that is pretty much what gets lost in transition, is that the fact that the conventional diet is just... It holds its weight with every other diet out there. It's just not flashy, and I think that's why it doesn't get advertised as much. But I honestly think it's the most effective way to attack any sort of fitness goal that you have. So you should just figure out, if you can get a way to figure out your metabolic base level metabolic rate, if you can have a way to figure that out, place to go, or just go online for a calculator for a rough estimate, and then add in your activities and things like that, I think you'll have a much better idea of what you should or shouldn't be eating at that point. And you should just, it's just a better approach realistically. So this topic, or this section of the podcast, has kind of turned into a traditional diet promotion. But I think it's worth going into and at least trying for 4 weeks, like giving it your all and actually seeing it through before you try to start some crazy fad diet, because it's really underrated, obviously, I feel, and I think you'll save yourself some time in the long run. Okay, so just one thing I do want to say about the keto diet is that it's not all bad. Like, the people who end up doing it for 6 months, obviously it may start to help them earlier than this, but like, you're not going to see like real health benefits until like after 6 months. It's going to do a couple of things. These are all like mays. Like, I don't want you to think that I'm going to be like, oh, this is definitely going to do this for you. Like, there's so many variables in the game. It depends on what types of fats and proteins you're eating and like your ratios and things like that. But these are some of the possible side effects or rewards that you could gain from having a keto diet. And that's why, obviously, I said that like a year of a healthy lifestyle would be best, because that means you're dedicated enough to be able to hit a year, most likely, or at least 6 months of a new diet. So some of the things that you could look forward to if you're doing a keto diet and you are dedicated for a good amount of time: it improves your cholesterol, blood pressure, helps with blood sugar, and it also may reduce your appetite, helps with like cognitive function as well, boosts some weight loss is what some say, and lowers your triglycerides. So those are all like possible things. There's some more, and there's like, I mean, boost your weight loss. Like, obviously, if you're in a deficit, that's kind of what I'm saying. But these are like the marketed improvements that you could have, or marketed rewards of going into the keto diet. Now, who in their right mind wouldn't want that? Honestly. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, when you look up the benefits of the keto diet, like the first thing on Google, those five things. You know what people are suffering from the most? Those five things: obesity, bad cholesterol, high blood pressure, messed up blood sugar, usually from obesity with some diabetes. Everyone's always too hungry, and everybody wants to lose weight, and triglycerides are bad too, right? So that brings me right. I just use that to segue into the next part of the podcast. Issues with mainstream keto. Honestly, it's gone too far, and I simply just can't take it anymore. Keto is not the end all be all diet, and it's not the best way to attack your goals. And there's still like sciencing, awesome word. They're still researching into it, and like, there's new research coming out every day. But like, just long term, there's no reason like that I can see clear right now. I mean, I know I'm going to take some flack from this, but there's no reason to do it unless it works for you. Like, completely go right ahead. But the marketing behind this is just absolutely insane. And you're just attacking people who don't know enough for themselves to like know any different. I think that makes sense. Like, they're attacking the newcomers into the fitness world who don't know enough. Like, I'm not saying anybody who's coming into the fitness world is dumb. I'm just saying, like, you haven't been in the game or like experienced enough to know that it's not like the end all be all. Like, they make that, like, that's straight from Google. Those five things I mentioned before, that sounds amazing to me. And I'm sitting here on the other end of this mic telling you how much I don't like this diet. So that's kind of the thing. I've never in my 22 years of life, I've never seen a diet marketed more than I have seen keto. All over the web, all over Instagram, all over Facebook. It's everywhere. And, you know, in a couple years, if the research shows that this is the best diet ever invented in the history of the world, I'll eat my words. That's fine. But it's not right now. So why is everyone acting like it's the best diet ever? And, like, I don't want to say forcing it down, because I know, like, I have my buddy Russ at Fortitude Strength and Conditioning. He's an avid listener. I appreciate you very much, my friend. And he's a keto person. He doesn't force it on anybody, though, and he definitely doesn't force it on his clients. Like, whatever is good for you personally isn't always what's good for your clients, and I think he's a great example of that. So this is what I'm saying. Like, that's why I prefaced the whole episode with saying, like, there's great keto coaches out there. Like, if you do keto, I have no issues with you. But what I'm saying is traditional eating works just as well, and in my opinion, much better than keto does. And there's no real reason for you to do it right now, in my mind. Like, especially when you could have a head start with just a traditional diet. So let's get back to the issues with the mainstream media on keto. They're pretty much, like I said, they're preying on the newbie or beginner. And, you know, the biggest issue I have with that is, like, the newbie or the beginner or the newcomer, whatever you want to call them, they're the most susceptible to failure, which, when you start off a new diet or anything like that, like, most people fall off in, like, the first month or within first 6 months is when people usually fall off. Okay, but with keto, you have a keto flu. This is cool. So when you switch over to the keto diet, said that weird. When you switch over to the keto diet, you go through a period where your body is transforming its main power source to or energy source to the ketones. And then, like, during this, like, week to 2 week period, you are going through hell, basically. Like, headaches, dizziness, extremely tired. Everyone's different when they experience the keto flu, but everyone usually has it. Obviously, like, the symptoms could be worse for this person or that person, but you're going through it. And if you're a newbie, like, I can't think of a better reason on why to get off of a diet than having dizziness, lightheadedness, and just overall, like, cognitive traffic jam all day long simply because you're switching your main power source. Like, that doesn't seem like that. That's when I say, like, the risk isn't worth the reward. That's what I'm talking about. And that is probably, like, my biggest issue with it, is that you're literally taking, like, someone's one chance at changing their life, because, like, everyone has unlimited amount of chances, right? But, like, this time could have been it for that person if they were on, like, a normal diet, but they did the keto diet, so now they got to go through another 15 failures before they actually stay dedicated and consistent with their diet and actually change their life. So that's my biggest issue with it. They market it towards everyone too. So not, like, I say that they market to the newcomers, but they also, like, market it to, like, as in everyone should be doing it almost. No, this is, like, a really niche type of diet. Not everyone should be doing it. Like, this isn't the end all be all way of eating. Not everyone should be eating it, but they definitely market that way. Like, they market it to anyone looking to lose weight usually. And they're saying this is it. Like, you should be doing this. Why are you not doing this? You must be stupid if you're not doing this. Like, that's not the way to do it, honestly. Especially in the health and fitness. And I would like to say, obviously, all fitness and health diets or things like that, obviously they're going to attack the newcomer. But I just feel like the keto just has such a more destruction with the keto flu to the newcomer than like a traditional diet would if you're marketing a traditional diet like coaching service or something like that. But keto with the keto flu just has such a higher fall off rate in the first couple of weeks that marketing it to like a newbie or someone like that is just, honestly, I just feel like it's morally incorrect. But let's move on. I will say that they market to everyone. It's really a niche type for people. It's really a niche type diet for people. Like, only a certain few people can do it. Like I said, I can't do it. I don't like fats that much. So it's a very niche type diet. It's marketing as a quick solution. Oh man, this just, I just get so fired up. It's marketed as a quick solution. When the real benefits and long-term benefits don't really take place until like past 8 weeks. So they'll be marketing like the better cognitive function and things like that, saying like right off the bat, but like you don't get that until about 8 weeks post starting the keto diet. Like, they give you every possible benefit ever, and they're saying they're marketing it as a short-term solution when realistically it's not happening until week 8, week 9. Like, that's another issue I have with the marketing for keto. I would like to say, obviously, I know that all the marketing for the health and fitness world is absolutely atrocious and they're horrible, horrible ways usually. But we're talking about keto, so that's who I'm going to talk about. Let's see. It's just, and they make it sound quick. Like I just said, they make it a quick solution, but they make it sound quick compared to other diets. Like, it's honestly quite the opposite, because if you go into keto, you fail. You don't like it, can't do it, then you've got to reset your body. So what, let's say 2 weeks, go through the keto flu, not really energized that much when you get to the gym, don't really do well at the gym. And then 2 weeks later, you finally get in finally hitting that ketosis and you're really crushing your keto diet 2 weeks later. And you know what? You fall off the wagon. You eat all the carbs in the world, you fall off ketosis. Okay, so you gain a little bit of weight back. Have more energy now, of course, for sure, now that your body's running on carbs again. But then you try to do keto again. Okay, another 2 to 4 weeks there, getting back on ketosis. I mean, ketosis can happen a lot earlier, especially if you're doing like a 48-hour fast or 24-hour fast. Just like, obviously, I don't recommend that. some people do like a lot of fasting just to get their blood sugar level down in order to hit ketosis sooner. There's a lot of things that they do at the beginning of the diet to try to hit ketosis as soon as possible. But so you spend another 2 to 4 weeks on the keto diet, hitting ketosis, and you're at what, 8 weeks now? Okay. And then you fall off again, and that, you know what? You're done. You're absolutely done. You don't want to diet anymore. It's failed too many times for you. 2 times in 2 months. Like, that sucks. That feels bad mentally. Let's see here. If you just did a traditional diet, still getting to eat all the fun foods that you wanted. Fun. Oh, I shouldn't have said fun. Oh, I hate that. All the normal foods that you have been eating, like carbs, fats, and proteins. You're getting a little bit of everything. Consistently on a caloric deficit. Biggest main point of the whole thing, I would like to say. You do it for 8 weeks. You might have like a cheat day here, a cheat day there. You know the best thing about being on a traditional diet and having a cheat day? You don't get knocked out of ketosis and you don't, quote unquote, ruin your diet or your state your body's in. You know, if you have like a binge, like I even talk about binge eating. Like, I'm a binge eater. Like, if I'm on a diet, I love to just like go all out. Not a cheat meal, like cheat day, cheat weekend, like. If I have a rough patch in my diet, it's usually pretty bad. But you know, the best thing is, like, I'm even on those worst things, worst weekends for me on a traditional dieter, it's nowhere near the toll that it takes on your body to go in and out of ketosis with a matter of like 3 months. Like, it's not good for you to do that. Obviously, mentally and like physically, energy wise, you're just gonna be all over the place all the time, and that's just not fun. So that is definitely, like, it's not quick. The idea here is, like, 8 weeks on a traditional diet compared to maybe, like, even if you fall off on the traditional diet, you're going to be able to still make better progress on that than you would the keto flu, or with the keto and the keto flu, and, like, transitioning from a ketosis level to non-ketosis level. Overall, I'm just saying it would be better off, especially if you're a beginner, to just jump right into a traditional diet full steam ahead and not waste your time trying a usually failed experimental diet that people just try for a little bit and then they go back to what they know. So traditional is the OG gangster of the diet game. You don't need any fancy, flashy diet, fad diet types things. You just need the original gangster with some caloric deficit, and you'll be just fine with it, or caloric surplus for any goal that you have. There's no reason for you to do keto. This is just my opinion, as I said before. I would love to hear your feedback at Lifting Standards Training on Instagram. I love to have debates, so let's talk, especially all you keto heads out there. I would love to have a sit down and have a conversation with you. So you can reach out to me there. I'm also on Lifting Standards on Facebook, so you can go over there. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast. I come out with one every week. The next one I am super excited about. I'm going to be talking about CrossFit with one of my good friends, Mr. Chris Lafume. Really, I messed up your first name. Wow, the easy one. How did I mess up the first one? That's crazy. I'm going to be talking with him about CrossFit. So I'm super excited about that episode. And just to recap this episode, main points. I talked about does keto work? Nope, it does not. It doesn't. Okay, so it depends on the situation, but no, not in my eyes for the average consumer of the health and fitness lifestyle. Is it right for you? The only situations I said were as if it was recommended by a doctor, nutritionist, or dietitian. And then the other situation where I said it would be okay, or just okay. I don't even think it's right for you at this point, but it's okay for you to try it if you've done, like, an overall healthy lifestyle for over a year, because that means you're committed and you're able to hold a commitment. And you'll probably be able to hit those actual benefits that they market so well. And then I talked about my issues with the mainstream keto. Basically, I'm going to try to make that quick because I know I've been talking for quite a minute now. But it was that was the biggest part of the episode for sure. My issues are they try to market it to the newbies. And with the keto flu, it just doesn't make sense to me. And it really hurts more than it helps, I believe. They market it as it's best for everyone, and it's really a niche type of diet. Only a certain few people could do it. And lastly, it's marketed as a quick solution when real benefits don't start to happen until, like, 8 weeks out usually. And when you do, like, a traditional diet, you'll have, like, a head start on the keto diet. As in my eyes, we've talked about it, but that was just a quick recap. So thank you very much. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe. And I'm on Instagram at Lifting Standards Training. Like I said, Facebook Lifting Standards. And I am taking all recommendations for podcasts, whether it be like equipment I should get. If anybody has any sort of techie knowledge about certain aspects of the podcast, I'm taking topic recommendations, and I am taking any questions or arguments, especially after this episode. I am really excited to be back, guys. I appreciate all the love, and I hope you all have a blessed day. See you later. Bye.